band together. Man. Okay. I woke up in the middle of the night. Have you ever done that and you don't know where you're at? And I grabbed a little business card that was sitting in a drawer next to the bed, and I wrote this down. Didn't even turn the light on. I actually did pretty good without even turning the light on. And you know how the Lord will wake you up with something. So now I'm studying this out a little bit. I heard this. As humans, we all have mistakes in our life that we have to get past. Some people never get past it, and they live with it forever. You have to get past it. And so my question then was, because I always question the Father, I don't know why I do this. He's never been offended by it. I said, Where, Jesus, did you have to get past any mistakes in your life? I don't see any mistakes in your life. It wouldn't be possible for you to have a mistake, would you? And then I realized this just rose up in my spirit. He always had to overcome people talking about his birth being illegitimate. So it was what was perceived as his mother's mistake that he always had to deal with. And I remembered the Pharisees, because that's where I heard it. Don't you remember it says this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. The Pharisees even jabbed him with, we know who our father is, basically implying you don't know who yours is. And he had to deal with that all the time. But he overcame that. So I don't know what your Christmas was like. Ours was great and it was wonderful and everything was going good. And then right here at the end of it, it just kind of like, so we got some news about something that was kind of like just a punch. You ever had that? And you're like, okay, I'm all right. I'm still okay. I'm still standing. I'm a weeble. We wobble, but we don't fall down. Right? And you just keep going on. And so now we're applying our faith, me personally, I'm applying my faith personally to this situation. And we're going to walk this thing out. We're going to lock arm in arm and we're going to be okay. Right? So I wanted to look at last week and we'll take it a step further and wrap this up. How do we do this? How do we change our vocabulary? How do we overcome? I taught about being a carrier of his name and not using that name in vain. Brother Copeland talked about at 10 a.m., his name being El Shaddai and Jehovah Rapha, and then he talked about the I Am. Remember that? Went into all the names. He was correct in tying all those names together, because when he told Moses, I am that I am, sent me, he encompassed it when he said that. In the Hebrew, it's Ayah Asher Ayah. It means I will be what I will be. When used in a standalone description, I am, it's an ultimate statement of self-sufficiency. The word AA is the first person common singular of the verb to be. Isn't that interesting? Like you wanted to know all of that. It means to be. So Shakespeare, to be or not to be. I mean, when he uses that name, I am, I will be. And I saw something here. God's existence is not contingent upon anybody else. He is. His word is truth. He promises that he will be what he will be, and that is he is the eternally consistent Father of all of us. He stands ever present. He's unchangeable. He's completely sufficient in himself to do what he wills to do and accomplish what he's going to accomplish. And so now when I heard that, to be, or I will be. Now when the Father said, light be, he's using the root of I am. And light was, had to be. My God. It's good, isn't it? I will be, listen, this is what, I'm standing on this right now. You need to be standing on this right now. I will be whatever name I need to be for that situation. I'll be your healer. I'll be your provider. My God, I will be whatever I need to be. I'll be whatever you're going through right now. He's going to be it. Woo. That's why we got to hook our mouth up with that. Hook our faith up with that. John's going to teach on this. And man, I could take some time to drill down and show you that the light of the world comes from the root word for truth. And the root of truth is where we get the word faith. Isn't that something? It's all tied together, guys. Abraham based his faith. Do you understand? He didn't have this. Abraham didn't have Genesis even. He didn't have any of it. And he based his faith on the person of truth. And he became fully persuaded that he, the Word, would do it. He became fully persuaded, and God gave him pictures of that. He gave him pictures, stars, sand, right? I'll show you another picture in just a moment. He gave him things to hook his faith up to. I showed you an apparent contradiction in the Word concerning Abraham and Sarah. Remember when she laughed? We went into all of that, part of that. The Lord didn't repeat everything she said. He left part of it out because he's not going to speak against himself. See, we do that all the time. We speak against ourselves. My goodness. Well, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Really? I am not. Wow. I am not smart enough. I am not good enough. I am not. If he's in you and you're in him and your identity's in him, you better stop that from your vocabulary. Amen. Especially when you have something that hits you unexpectedly. Usually in your family or in your workplace or whatever it is. Somebody, your job situation changed over the holidays. Well, you need to hook your mouth up. You're going to get past this.
Yeah, amen.
You're going to get past this.
Yes.
And you just got to know, I'm going to get past this. I've gotten past worse than this. Come on, right?
Amen.
We're going to make it. We're going to get through this. So he based his faith on the person of truth, and he became fully persuaded. She laughed at the Lord, and the Lord didn't repeat everything she said. Now, to be fair to Sarah, I never got Sarah off the hook last week. To be fair to her, she came around. I'll show you that in just a little while. And to be fair to her, if you read the verses, Abraham laughed too. He laughed before she did. But then I got to wonder, why did he not get in trouble, but she did? And in Hebrews 11:11, it shows you how Sarah got out of this thing. All right? By faith. There it is. Sarah herself. She's not riding Abraham's faith. My God. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. How did she do it? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She put her faith in the truth. Regardless of what was going on in her body, she put her faith in the truth. She judged him faithful who had promised. How'd she do that? She sat down one day and she put herself in remembrance of all the things that had happened in their life. And yes, that was a bad situation, but you got us out of that. Woo! Yes, that wasn't great, but look, here we are. Yeah, that whole thing with Sodom and Lot, that wasn't good, but here it is. It's all okay now. See what I mean? She judged him faithful. So that's what you got to do in your life. You have to judge him faithful. Well, he's never really come through for me. Really? Really? Watch what you say. Yes, he has. Sometimes you're not even aware he's come through for you. Because he just handled it. I said he just handled it. You don't even know it. Because of the favor and the blessing on your life. You'll know it when you get to heaven. Wow, I never knew you. I thought that was me, but you had a part in that. Of course he had a part in that. Hallelujah. Well, let me ask you this. He promised that all who call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Right? Did he promise that? And how many of you in this room watching us on television, you've called on his name and he saved you? Yeah? Okay. Of those that got saved, I know none of you probably ever made a mistake and fell off the wagon and went back to the old ways. Anybody? Me. And he said that if you would repent of that, he would immediately reestablish you. And you wouldn't have to start over again. He'd start you right where you were. When you repented and came back home, did he bring you right back? Or did he say, I don't think so. He totally forgave you again, right? You aligned yourself back with him and done. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to empower you. And that if you'd ask and receive him, you could pray in the Holy Spirit. How many of you in this room have been filled with the Holy Spirit? I've already shown you about three things to put yourself in remembrance of his faithfulness. How many of you in this room, he said he would heal you? Anybody that, well, look at the hands that went up on that one, that he healed you. He's touched your body. Look at those. There's four of them right there. I'm giving you reasons. You go back and you rehearse the things that he brought you through. And faith will rise in you. Sarah herself received strength to conceive because she judged him faithful. Judge him faithful. That he's been faithful to you time after time. Yeah, but this one, man, this one's in front of me. That's the devil talking. He has a history of getting it right. He has a history of winning.
Amen.
All right, let me get back to that in just a bit. The root word for laugh in Hebrew indicates it's a mocking type of laugh. It's not a joy in the Holy Ghost laugh. It's a mocking laugh. That's why it was noticed. So why was she rebuked and not Abraham? That was the problem that's been bothering me. And I got the answer to it. Are you ready? When you understand the timeline of the laughing, everything comes in line. You begin to see it. Everything that happened with Abraham and Sarah didn't happen in one day or one week. It was over a lifetime. All right? So let me give you a little timeline. Can I do that? Genesis chapter 12. I will bless those that bless you. That's the first covenant. There were three covenants he made with Abraham. Isn't that interesting? So it's one covenant of Abraham, but there's three parts to it. I find that very interesting. Why did he do that? He didn't do that with everybody else. He only did that with Abraham. And you always hear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, don't you?
Yes.
All right. I will bless those that bless you. All of that chapter 12 happened in about 2 years. So chapter 12 took about 2 years for all of those things to transpire. Isn't that interesting? 5 years later. So what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to leave where he was. And the scripture says, leave his father's house and go to a place that he would show you. Right? Took about 2 years. Here's the problem. He didn't do that correctly. He took family with him. He took his papa with him. And so he gets stopped in a place called Haran. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's where his father, Terah, dies. His dad dies there because the scripture plainly tells us his dad was an idol worshiper. He can't go into the promised land as an idol worshiper. They couldn't go into the promised land with the golden calf. Where did they get that golden calf? Well, they picked it up at the market on the way. No, they didn't. They brought it from Egypt with them. It was in them. Oh, my goodness. See, some folks want to change churches, and you don't realize you brought your golden calf with you from the other place. Let me just get back to them and look down. Look around. Don't look around. They'll think it's you. Why does this keep happening? Because you keep carrying around those idols with you, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What are you willing to lay down to enter into his rest? And I'm not talking about God's telling you, you got to give this up and you got to give that up. That's what religion does. What I'm telling you is get rid of every weight, Hebrews tells us, the things that are holding you back. My God. So 5 years later, so we've got 7 years here. He can't go into the covenant land till dad dies. He wasn't supposed to bring him with him or Lot. So Abraham and Lot will part ways 5 years after that. 3 years after that, you reach Genesis 15, and God will make another covenant with Abraham. And this is the one where Abraham divided the pieces of the animals. Remember that? And he was pinned to the ground, and the Lord walked between the pieces and made covenant with himself. Remember that? That happens another 3 years after that. And a year after that covenant, Ishmael is born by Hagar. So, nothing happens significant for 13 years. So 13 years later, there's going to be another covenant that'll be made with God and Abraham. And this will be a covenant of circumcision, where Abraham will circumcise himself and all the men in his house and of his tribe. And then it's right after that, in Genesis 17, that Sarah laughed, where I spoke about that last week. So here's the thing. There were three covenants made there. And I find that very interesting. You have a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit covenant. You have an Elohim covenant. You have a three in one with the Father of our faith. Isn't that something to see? We miss this. Why do we miss this stuff? We miss this stuff because our faith, our belief has taken us so far from the biblical roots of Judaism, from the biblical roots of our Hebrew fathers. So this is a promised seed covenant with the circumcision. Each one of these three is one covenant. It's one covenant, but it's broken down into the three parts. It represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so now when we've gotten to this, when we've gotten to this last covenant, which is the circumcision covenant, that is the final seed covenant of Abraham. And it's the promised seed. Isn't that interesting? So the Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father for us. You see it? And so it was a big thing in there. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but it was a big thing. So now there's something very, very interesting that I want to share with you. But let's take a brief second right here. And I want to play a clip from Brother Copeland last Sunday talking about these covenants. And just watch this from last Sunday.
This is the first covenant in blood, the blood of animals. Now, God said, you do this, you have to die. But then he said, no, wait a minute, no. Don't kill the man, he can't help it. Kill an animal. I'll accept that. I'll accept that. What's he doing? He's building his case. He has to have a man first because he created the heaven and the earth, but then he gave the earth to mankind. So then man committed high treason. He had the ability to do that, but he did not have the moral right to do it. Amen. Because God was still owner of it by reason of creation. It belonged to him. Who do you say I am? I am the Alpha and the Omega. He never spoke one idle word. Every word he said, he heard his Father said. And the Father had already said, I am. And he is the exact replica. Bill Winston called him the sample son. He's our example. We're supposed to be acting like him, talking like him, thinking like him, being like him, just as close as we possibly can. Talk about him all the time. Talk to him all the time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, notice what he said there at the beginning about that covenant. And here's what I saw. I saw something in this last covenant with Abraham I'd never seen before. Every covenant prior to this, the shedding of blood, from God making coats for Adam and Eve, remember that? To Cain and Abel, to Noah's altar, to Abraham a few years before, dividing the pieces and God walking between them. Every single one of those was with animals doing the cutting, being cut, and divided. The two were divided. They were never rejoined. They were separated one from another. We could put it this way. There were two different camps now, right? Except now this one is different. This cutting happens to Abraham. Oh my. This is the first time it's not animals being cut. Abraham himself will be cut and all his male descendants. And so here's this. Abraham wears this covenant. Oh my God. See, that's the thing that you and I do. We are carriers of his name now. We are carriers of the blessing. We are carriers of the covenant. This is why Paul talks about us over in all the epistles with the circumcision of our heart. Wow. Woo! We share with Jesus. We were crucified with him, buried with him, resurrected with him, sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit. The only thing man made in heaven right now is the scars on Jesus. He carries them. Oh my goodness. Wow. And so now think about that for a second. This covenant is different. God gave him stars to remind him, sand to remind him. Remember that? Now every time, not to be crude here, but every time the man goes to the bathroom, daily he's reminded of the covenant. He can't get away from it. When he and Sarah come together, she's aware of the covenant. She laughs after this. He carries the scar of the promise on him. My Lord. My Lord. Isn't that something? I saw it. I went, oh my goodness. He is daily reminded. The seed for Isaac, listen to this. The seed for Isaac will pass through the bloodline, that bloodline on him. Didn't do that with Ishmael. The seed will pass through the scar of the covenant, the bloodline, where the bloodline. Think of the Passover door, blood on the doorpost, all the way, and you passed through that and you were sealed. Inside, the door was closed. So when Abraham's seed went through that bloodline of the covenant into Sarah, my God, you see it? I love it. The seed for Isaac is going to pass through the bloodline mark. Now, we never truly understand the Greek, the gift of righteousness and faith and grace. Paul explains this for us in his writing. Let me show you. Go to Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to Galatians chapter 3. Start bringing this thing home a little bit. So now, Abraham laughed before that circumcision. Sarah will laugh after that. Does that make sense now? Made sense to me. Because I thought God was being pretty judgmental and unfair about this whole thing. Just say it. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure, look at this, to all the seed. Sure to all the seed. By faith, through grace, sure to all the seed. Are you all the seed?
Yes.
See, now before, when we were talking about Isaac, we were talking about one seed. And that one seed is going to was Isaac, but then it was going to be Jesus. But because of Jesus, he bears the covenant marks in him, the body of Christ, you're part of the body, you bear, my God, you bear in the spirit realm the covenant marks of what Jesus did. And so therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. You're all the seed. Hallelujah. But also to those who are of the faith, not only to those who are of the law, that's the natural Jewish people, right? Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. There it is. You're part of that seed that has been given this. You have passed through the blood. Remember when I talked to you about the blood and the name? You pass through the blood, his blood, which is in heaven. My God. You're past the bloodline. You're on this side of the cross. So now it is, I love this, be sure to all the seed. You have a surety that you are the seed of God. You have the blessing. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. See, these. Once you get this, once I understood this, I said, look at that, look at that, look at that. All these writings of Paul start to make sense to me now. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God, this is a favorite verse. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. How many Gentiles have been justified by faith in this room? How many of you have been justified by faith? Absolutely. Doesn't mean on credit, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, everything in the world is going to try to contradict that to you. Your job, your boss, everybody around you is going to try to contradict that and say, no, that's not true. Well, no, look at that. Would the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus have honked his horn and acted like that? Yes, because he did. Come on. Everything's going to try to talk you out of being who you are and tell you you're not worthy of that. Your attitude just took you away from that. Come on now. You're this, you're that. Whatever it is, pick something. A mistake from your past. You're going to have to get past this thing, right? Look at this. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. You're part of that. You're part of the nations that have been blessed. You are blessed. Go down to verse 13, Galatians 3:13. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You've received the promise of the Spirit. How'd you do it? By faith. How'd you receive your salvation? By faith. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? By faith. I just wish you could lay hands on me. I wish you could pray for me. I just don't know about this speaking in tongues thing. I want that so bad. Receive. How do I do that? By faith. By faith, you say, Father, I receive. You promised this for me. I want this in my life. Listen, let me help you with something. If you're born again, you already received the Holy Spirit. You already have it. You've just never released him to pray through you. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
You've never released him to do that. And that's all you're going to do. And you're going to do that by faith. How many of you have ever run or danced or shouted or raised your hands in church and that was a new thing for you? And you did it by faith. The first time somebody said, lift your hands, and you're like, what? What? Any of you come from a background that was unusual? And the first time you did it, you were like, I don't know whether I should do this or not. Anybody? This bear witness? And then the moment you did it, what happened? Sir, the moment you did it, what happened?
Freedom.
Absolute freedom. Something just rushed over. All of a sudden, you were in the Spirit. Because you yielded in an area you've never yielded to before. Oh, my.
Amen.
Oh, my. A new freedom, a new thing had happened. But you did it by faith. Well, I don't want to do that. I'll be in the flesh. Of course, you're in the flesh. If you're not in the flesh, you're present with the Lord. Your flesh is going to dance.
Amen.
Well, I just don't. You know, that was a big thing in the church I grew up in. I don't want to be in the flesh. You are in the flesh. You got saved in the flesh. You got resaved in the flesh. Come on. Over and over and over and over again because you yield to your flesh all the time. Oh, my. Now I've gone from preaching to meddling. Right? But he's not going to pull your spirit out and let your spirit dance around. Your flesh will die. To be absent from the body, the flesh, is to be present with the Lord. Your flesh is going to yield to your spirit. And that's how you're going to speak in tongues. That's how you're going to dance. That's how you're going to run. That's how you're going to go ha, 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 and laugh. Right? I mean, there's still some when Pastor George does, ha, ha, ha. You guys just look at him. I have this obsession thing. Obsession. Is that the right word? I need to check myself. He doesn't have an obsession watching popcorn. I like to watch popcorn pop. Yes, I have a great interest in why one will not pop and the rest will. I've never figured it out. I know it has something molecular to do with the amount of water that's in that kernel. I get it. But why? Why you? Why that kernel? And I always looked when I was a kid to see which one would pop first. Because we had one of those things that had the dome on it, and you put the butter, on top, and it would like drizzle down on it, and this little thing turns them, right? And I'd look to see which one is going to go first. Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't lift the thing up. How do I know? I got popped with one time. That burned, too. It was hot. But it was exciting to watch which one, and there's always a few that never pop. What do we call them? Old maids. We always called them the old maids that wouldn't pop. You do not want to be, when the Holy Ghost is moving in a church service in a revival meeting, you do not want to be one of the old maids.
Amen.
Pop. Just be willing to pop. They're all under the same heat. They're all in the same environment. They're all under the same anointing. But some people refuse to pop.
Wow.
Don't be that guy. Well, how do I know it's God? And I love you, but the spirit of slap comes out on me. I just want to, it's a fivefold ministry gift. Serious, guys. How do I do that? Let me tell you how to do it. I remember sitting years ago next to Leroy Thompson. Remember him? Money cometh to me now.
Yes.
Oh, let's do it. Money cometh to me now. I love it. I was sitting next to him as Brother Hagin meetings, and this is before Brother Thompson had gotten to where he is. And I was sitting as an usher, and he would sit next to me. I was one of the guys that was right there that was going to assist Brother Hagin if something happened or when something happened. And so my responsibility, they said, well, I want you to have these two seats for these two people. Yes, sir. And so they sat next to me for a few years, and I would notice something. And Brother Hagin would go, amen. Brother Thompson would go, amen, just quietly. Brother Hagin would go, pshew. He'd do his foot just like it, pshew. I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? So we made it through the first year of him doing that. And the next year, he's doing the same thing, pshew. And the whole thing. And I would realize whatever was happening to Brother Hagin began to happen to him. And so what he's doing is he's hooking himself up with the man who's in the pulpit. He's hooking himself up to his anointing, Gene. And wasn't very long till he was up there speaking. Oh, my. I just showed you a principle. The disciples sounded like Jesus. We have proof of that in the Bible. No, you sound like him. Right? Because they'd been trained. Brother Copeland talked about it last week. They went preaching everything he preached. Doing what he did. Let me help you with something. When there's a move of the Spirit in a church service, get involved with it. If you're sitting in the dud section, get up and move. If it's popping over here, go, and you want to pop, go sit over there. Just go stand next to him. It'll get on you. It's hard to be the one guy doing this while everybody else is bouncing around. I don't know if that's scriptural. Think about the guy who couldn't get into the water quick enough because when the water was troubled. Get somewhere close where it's happening. So when Terry Bailey's popping, get over by her. She'll help you. She'll grab you and pop with you. You know what I'm saying? If it's popping in another section of the room, do that. Now, what I'm telling you is you don't make something happen. What I'm telling you is how to hook up with the anointing. Whatever's happening from the pulpit, it will be happening there. Right? So if it's a shout day, don't do a cry and wail day while everybody else is shouting. If everybody else is quiet and on their face on the floor, then that's not a laugh day. Note to self, right? You don't want to be the one guy That's weird. I'm just saying. Did he call me weird? Maybe. So how did I get off on all that? We were purchased at one time without a covenant, right? We didn't have a covenant. We don't have a reference point for this because of the evil that was slavery in America. But let me show you something. In Jewish history, with Jewish people, a purchased person in a family was not a slave, but a well-treated member of the family. To mistreat them was forbidden. And if you had a servant in your household, you circumcised the male servant. He was part of the same covenant that his owner had. And you were forbidden to mistreat. So we have been adopted into this thing. And we're not going to be mistreated. Isaac is born 2 years later after Ishmael Ishmael will be sent away. And it's around 10 years later that Abraham will offer Isaac. 20 years after that, Sarah will die. And she turned it around, I told you a while ago, by judging him faithful. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful that had promised. She put herself in remembrance. Listen to me. Growth and change should not be difficult. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It really should be effortless for us to change from glory to glory. Well, I don't like to change. Then you're not a Christian because we're always changing into his image. I didn't say you weren't a Christian. I did say you weren't a Christian. I didn't mean it that way. You're not walking in the fullness of your Savior. Effortless change, because we're talking New Year's. This is when everybody wants to change, right? We're not going to spend as much as we did this year or next year. I can tell you that right now. Bless God. We're not going to do that. Bless God. We're not going to. I met a guy in the back a while ago. He goes, I don't want another cookie or another sweet for another year. Okay, talk to me in February. Around Valentine's Day. Just say it. Come on now. So if we try to change out of our willpower, try to change out of this, you know, it's like going to the self-help section at the bookstore. I remember somebody asked me one time, do you know where the self-help section is? I was like, isn't that defeating the purpose? Self-help, find it. Help yourself. They looked at me with angry eyes. I just couldn't resist. I had to say it. Effortless change. Guys, we're going to change this year. Brother Copeland's already talked about 2020. There's some change coming. Right? For the vast majority of people view change as one of the most traumatic experiences in their life, and it shouldn't be. Not for a believer. It should be effortless for us. But there's a way to change effortlessly. Let me show you. Mark chapter 4. Go to Mark chapter 4. You take the seed of God's word, you sow it in your heart, then the Lord will produce all the change you ever need. I was talking to a young man who deals with anxiety and all kinds of stuff, and things have been paralyzing him. His name is Christian. So I had a little talk with him for a while, and I got him convinced. I said, you're named after the blessing. Your name means the anointed one. Is the anointed one anxious? No. And so he finally saw it. This happened over the holidays. I said to him, what's your name? And he told me his name. I go, is he anxious? No. Neither are you. Right. I said, you're going to have to say this to yourself every single day. He goes, what do I do when it's really bad? I say it louder. And more often. Mark chapter 4, you there? And he said, verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. Look at that. First, the self-help section. First the blade, then the head, then after that the full grain in the head. Isn't that beautiful? But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. In this parable, Jesus compared the word of God to seed. Okay? A seed doesn't release its life until it's planted. You can have a seed sitting in a jar in a package for a long time. I went to an antique store and saw a bunch of seeds. I'm like, is that a thing? I guess it is. You know, these were bought in the 50s and 60s, and I'm thinking, what a waste. Nobody ever planted them. And so my thought was, I wonder if they'd still work. Of course they'd still work, because it's in that seed. It doesn't work till it's planted. My God. God's word will not set you free till you plant it into your heart, till you plant it into your mouth. You can keep it locked up in here, sitting on your coffee table. But until you plant it, it's not going to do anything. The man who sowed the seed slept and rose day after day. It takes time for this to germinate. I told you, I gave you a timeline of Abraham just a second ago. All of that stuff in Abraham's life was not 1 week. It was years. Taking time to germinate and time to grow. You can't plant a seed one day and expect to see it growing later on that day. And if you go out there and dig it up every single day after you plant it, you'll kill it. It'll never work. Just because there's nothing visible above ground does not mean that the seed is not growing. It's growing. It's working. It's doing what it was called to do. The ground is working on that thing. The ground will work. The ground will try to grow a fence post. If you've ever had to ride fence and replace fence post, you'll know. You'll see it's rotten down at the bottom. Well, how'd it get rotten? It was a tree, it wasn't rotten. Well, it's not a tree anymore, it's a fence post. Even a metal fence post, it'll begin to rust out, right? Why? Because the water and the ground, it's doing its thing on it. My God. So when I plant the seed of his word, this living person in me, my body is planted in there, it's working. The seed's doing what it does. My God. You got to know it. It's working in you. Well, Phil, I wish you'd hurry up. Line up your mouth with the seed and help it. Water it. A farmer has to leave his seed in the ground, believe it's growing even though he can't see it. You have to have faith that the seed of God's word will do what it was designed to do by God. It will produce fruit in its time and quit digging it up. Many people dig up the word by speaking directly against what the word is in them. They'll let natural circumstances override what God says. This is why I wrote down what I wrote down in the middle of the night. I woke up. Mistakes in your life. You have to get past it. Many people will never get past it. You have to get past it. You have to hook your mouth up to it and get past that. When we remember, when we meditate on God's word, here's what you're doing. You're undergoing effortless change. You're changing. You meditate on his word. You say his word. You mutter his word. You confess his word. You say what the word says about you. Even when it doesn't look like that. Even when everybody's telling you that's not who you are. But you'll say who he says you are. You're undergoing change. Effortless change. You never see an apple tree travail to produce an apple. I've never seen a stressed apple tree. Or a stressed peach tree. It takes time, but the apples come effortlessly. A tree doesn't sit there and go, come on. You just put them in the ground and you put some sunshine on them. You put a little water on them. All the grass right now is brown here, but I'm going to tell you something. Let the heat kick up a little bit and some rain on this thing, and you watch that Bermuda, it'll be everywhere and you'll be mowing every week. Amen. Right? The plant never resolved to do anything. The plant, that peach tree, never made a resolution. This year, we're going to have more peaches because I resolve to do a better job at pushing out peaches. They don't do that. We laugh at that. That's silly, isn't it? But you got to realize that's who you are. You're a tree planted by the water. You don't have any effort in this thing. You're just going to feed on the word. You're going to keep the word in you, and you're going to produce fruit in your time. My God. There's no more toil and stress in this. Hallelujah. Now, if you make religion a factory, If I made you describe a factory for me, what's a factory? You're going to describe a factory. Hurry, quick. Machines, right? Noise, what else? What's it look like inside?
Gray.
It's gray and it's noisy. Hot? Okay. A tree in an orchard. Describe it.
Bright,
peaceful,
organic.
What? Quiet, green. I'm hearing all these things. You hear a difference there between a factory and a tree. You're a living tree that's been planted by living water. You're not in a factory of religion trying to crank out widgets with your faith. You have effortless change. You plant the word of God in you, you water it with your mouth, and effortlessly you produce fruit. My God, I'm about to get happy in here. I've done made me happy.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't speak directly against the seed that's in you right now. You may not see yourself growing, honey, but you are growing. Woo! The plant never resolved to do anything. It just grows and produces fruit because that's what it is. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. You're going to get healed. Listen to me now. When I say this, take it the right way. You're going to get healed effortlessly this year. Because you're going to come to the realization, I am the healed. I am the healed. Hear what I just said? The I am is in me. He's not sick. He's not broke down. This doesn't hurt and that doesn't hurt in him. And I am healed. And it's effortless. It's effortless. This is the way prosperity is going to come to you in 2020. I am prosperous. Woo! I'm above only and not beneath. See what I'm saying? I'm above only and not beneath. I am the head and not the... See it? See it? You see it now? You're identified in that. It's effortless change. When you begin to water it with the word of your mouth coming out, it will produce effortlessly. If you're like a lot of Christians, you've probably tried to change many times and you find it hard and you find it frustrating. That's because you're going about it not God's way. You're going about it the world's way. You substitute prayer and fasting, your own effort, instead of the seed of God's word. Don't get me wrong. Prayer and fasting are the water and the fertilizer to a seed. Amen. A seed needs those things. But the seed has the miracle of life in it itself.
Yes.
And you have the miracle of your breakthrough already in you, in yourself. The seed of greatness, the seed of prosperity is already in you. The seed of healing is already in you. The seed of favor is already in you. The seed of blessing is only already in you. The only effort on your part is to put this word in your heart, circumcise it in your heart, protect it, nurture it, and God will produce, because the seed has to produce after its own kind. A seed has to produce after its own kind. So healing seeds have to produce healing.
Yeah.
Prosperity seeds have to produce prosperity.
Yes.
God. Righteousness seeds have to produce righteousness. I don't feel righteous. Start saying it. Start speaking. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was made righteous. Come on, you start saying. Start saying the healing things, healing seeds in your life. They produce after their own kind. Prosperity seeds produce after their own kind. What do you need? Start saying it.
Yes.
Sow it into you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to 2020.
Yes.
I am so looking forward to it. I'm going to shut this thing off and only say what this says and walk in it. In Jesus' mighty name. We got Pastor George coming up in just a few moments. Take a little break. Kick it over to Michelle, and we'll be back in a minute.